Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh, one of the main important attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ahsanul Khaliqeen. So for today's question, the question is that why some deformed people are bored? If Allah is Ahsanul Khaliqeen, so why some deformed people are bored?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah said in chapter Mu'minun verse 14 that فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed is Allah, He is best of creators. Also we have in chapter 18 verse 5 that أَعْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. We certainly created man in the best of forms. So there is no doubt about the fact that Allah is أحسن الخالقين, the best of the creator, and this creation is Ahsan. In Islamic theology, we talk about Nizam Ahsan, which means that this system of this world is the best, and it cannot be, better than this. But now the question is that why some people are created with, are born with some problems, and they are deformed. So the point is that this world in and of itself requires people to be born without any problem. Allah is Ahsan al-Khaliqeen, and the system is the best system. But the point is that when we consider the cases of these people, these kids, we come to this reality and the fact that for each and every one of them there is a cause. For example, it can be the drugs used by their parents, for example. It can be the pollution of the city, for example.
Genetic problems.
Exactly. Yes. And many, many other causes.
Okay.
And For this, we have in chapter Ash-Shura, verse 30, that Allah says, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever affliction that may visit you is because of what your hands have earned. And so Allah says that if there is any musibah, any problem, it is because of your actions. Now the question is that the parents, for example, when they have intimate relation, they are drunk. Okay?
Yes.
And physically speaking, based on the principle of cause and effect, for that reason, the child may be born with some problems.
Yes.
So can we blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. The parents should be blamed. And as I mentioned, all the other problems that we are suffering nowadays, for example, one of them being pollution. One of them might be all these networks that we have and the rays and so on and so forth, if they have any role in this regard. Allah said in chapter Rum, verse 41, that ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Corruption has appeared in land and sea because of the doings of the people, of the people's hands. So one may say that, okay, this is the, for example, pollution is because of, so many reasons. And the parents, they should be blamed. Why? The kids are created,
yes,
are born with problems. They have no role. And the answer to this question is that, first of all, the system of this world is cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, one cannot say that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created knife because some people misuse it and they may injure and kill some people with the same knife. So Allah has not created knife for harming people, for killing the people. It is for good purposes. But when some people misuse, then we will have negative consequences.
Yes.
So the principle of cause and effect is a principle which is one of the necessary consequences of this material life. When you have cause, for sure you will have the effect. So when you have pollution, one of the effects is that sometimes the kids are born with some problems. They might be deformed. Or at the same time, for example, we have gravity.
Yes.
It is one of the realities of this world. But yes, the same gravity may lead a person to fall from a building and be killed. So yes, can we blame gravity? No. We are talking about cause and effect. So we cannot say that it is true that the kids, the newborn should not be blamed, but at the same time, we cannot say that because they have no role, this cause should not lead to its effect. Mm-hmm. No, this is a principle.
Okay.
And this world is the place for cause and effect.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
But what about those people who have no role in these problems? And what about the people who are the main cause? So for both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the solution. So, for example, for those people, Allah says that لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not task any person beyond his or her capacity. But the point is that those people who are suffering from some problems and they have no role in these problems, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for sure make it up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be done in a way that on the Day of Judgment, for example, that they become very, very much happy. So much so that, according to some narrations, many people wish that they had much more problems in this world. Let me share one narration in this regard, for example, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam addressing Mufaddal. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, ثم للذين ينزل بهم هذه البلايا من الثواد بعد الموت إن شكروا وأنابوا. For those people who are suffering from some problems in this world, if they are, of course, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have such a reward on the day of judgment that لو خيروا بعد الموت لاختاروا أن يردوا إلى البلايا ليزدادوا من الثواب. They are given so much reward on the day of judgment that if they are given permission to be revived, they prefer to be revived to suffer from more problems. Mm-hmm. So that's a reality. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 3, page 71. The fact that if we are suffering from some problems and we didn't have any role, Allah will make it up. According to some narrations, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he was a blind person by birth, and once he asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to pray for him to get rid of this problem. The Imam told him that, "I will do that, but before this, let me show your status and the reward for you for this problem that you are suffering from in paradise. Then, if you like, I would supplicate for you." And through a miraculous way, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam showed him his level, his status in paradise. And that man saw that for this problem that he's suffering from, he will have a very high level and position on the day of judgment in paradise. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him, "Shall I pray for you?" He said, "Of course not. I prefer to suffer from the problem to have that reward on the day of judgment."
Okay, so all in all, we could see that these problems sometimes are a test for us, isn't it?
Exactly.
A test and trial, mm-hmm, for the human beings, for sure. And they have different, we can say, levels. It could be very much difficult, it could be easier, but at least the people must look that, okay, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how your forbearance and sense of patience is going to be tested before Allah.
This one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that all people who have any role, mm-hmm, in these problems, they would be punished for sure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Okay. When we are talking about parents, if they have any shortcoming,
yes.
For example, when we are talking about drunk parents, mm-hmm, and them having children, for sure they would be punished on the day of judgment.
Drunk, addicted parents.
Exactly.
For example, during the child pregnancy, the mothers are not allowed to drink alcohol or even smoke.
Exactly.
And these are all we can say, as you said, that's right, deformed child, deformed child.
Or for example, when we are talking about pollution, sometimes the politicians should be, mm-hmm, blamed.
Accused.
And of course, they would be punished by Allah on the day of judgment. And the last point, if I have time, that I would like to share. When it comes to, some kids being born with some problems and deformed, we have some special narrations in our collections of hadith about some etiquette for, intimate relation between wife and husband. And the couples are highly recommended to take care of these etiquettes so that the children are not born with some problems and deformed. Some of them, they are related to physical issues, for example, about nutrition, what to eat, what to drink, and even regarding the time of the conception and so on and so forth. And some of them are related to spiritual issues, like, for example, reciting the Noble Book of Quran during the time of the pregnancy. So I encourage those, dear listeners who are thinking of having a child to read their special books in this regard. As I mentioned, we have some supplications to be read, some verses of the Quran before the intimate relation during the time of the pregnancy. And of course, some physical, some instructions which are related to nutrition, for example. And some more detailed instructions regarding, as I mentioned, the time of the intimate relation and
the quality of the food that must be eaten, or, for example, the timing. That's all right.
Yeah.
These are all have.
So people are also encouraged, if for sure they, no one wants to have any deformed child, so it's a very good idea for them also to refer to some Islamic books in this regard.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration on this topic. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Call of Islam page to another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي تهران
إروبا شابت غازا
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The Islamic Jihad Resistance Movement has organized a celebration event in Damascus countryside, marking its victory against Israel in the recent battle in the Gaza Strip. In a televised speech, Secretary General of the movement, Ziad Nakhale, announced the victory against the Israeli regime, expressing pride in the people of Gaza, who he said manufactured their own weapons with the help of member countries of the resistance front.
We succeeded in the battle and we preserved Palestinians' unity. We proved to the enemy our continuous readiness to engage in battle after another in defense of our people. Any assassination operation will be met with a strong, clear and painful response in which Tel Aviv or other Israeli cities will be in the range of our rockets.
The event was attended by representatives of Syria-based Palestinian factions. Speakers said Palestinians and resistance groups showed unprecedented unity through the joint operations room while retaliating against Israel. They rejected any concessions with Israel and refused to acknowledge any political settlement with the enemy.
We underline the importance of national unity and armed resistance, which is the only option we have. We reject concessions, Oslo Accords, or any security coordination or recognition of Israel. We call for boycotting Israel politically and economically and punishing the enemy for the crimes against Palestinians.
Videos were played on a large screen showing the retaliatory battle codenamed Revenge of the Free, including images of the Islamic Jihad leaders who were assassinated or lost their lives while confronting Israeli attacks. Resistance movements like the Islamic Jihad believe that resistance is not an option, but in fact a national duty which is based on the legitimate right of Palestinians to fight against the Israeli regime. And for long, it has been the only successful deterrent against Israeli aggressions in occupied Palestine. Hamad Ali, Damascus Countryside.
Just a couple of weeks ago, there were hundreds of refugees, mainly from African and Middle Eastern countries, sleeping on the streets outside the main asylum application centre in Brussels. Authorities have since cleared the area. The refugees have fled to neighbouring countries or have been crammed into emergency accommodation. A few remain in the area, but say their situation would be different if they came from Ukraine.
Only because we are Afghan, because we come from Syria, because we don't have the same color, because we don't have same culture, but it will be not the reason. Of course, a lot of people, we have the same mind. I can work, I can do everything.
When you come here from Ukraine, you get everything. Accommodation, food, work, everything. If you are from somewhere else, as a refugee, you do not get anything.
If you look, I cut also myself, because we don't feel good in camp.
Sometimes you want to die?
Yes, I want to die. You look at my hands, I cut it my hands too much with blades. I do it too much. Because what is it, life, eat and going to sleep?
A debate in the European Parliament has heard that EU nations are erecting borders on land and strengthening aggressive coast guard services at sea. The bloc pays billions of euro to outside countries to stop refugees from attempting to travel here, unless they are from Ukraine.
The EU slogan is break the business model of smugglers. But what we do is feeding them by blocking all pathways to protection.
There is a heavy far-right anti-refugee presence in the Parliament.
Europe needs a policy based on strong border control.
But many legislators are calling for a more civilized approach.
We already fund third countries like Libya, actually militias over there, to build camps, to host people there. And we see murder, we see rape, and we do not see a humane solution.
Key EU figures are currently in Hiroshima, Japan, for a G7 meeting. 350,000 people were living there when their closest ally, the United States, dropped its catastrophic atomic bomb in 1945. More support for Ukraine is high on the agenda. Critics say the last thing on their minds is providing refuge to those fleeing countries they helped destabilize in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
For the first time since massive regular protests began in January, the French government has held discussions with union leaders regarding a two-year hike to the retirement age. A notable problem with that long delay is that the age hike has already been forced into law via a decree by President Emmanuel Macron. Public opinion is overwhelmingly against the change, but the government is standing firm, even though anger is rising to threatening levels nationwide. The First Lady's nephew was recently beaten by protesters over the age hike. Over 60% of the country wants the Prime Minister fired, and neither Macron nor his ministers can appear in public without protesters noisily banging casserole pans.
There's enormous anger right now. Macron has destroyed our social services, given huge tax gifts to the rich, persecuted injustices while allowing the far right to demonstrate without barely any police presence. And this is not even a complete list. People just want to live normally. But the Macron era is one of sadness and poverty.
Unions say the country will not get back to normal unless the age hike is revoked. But France has seen massive anti-government unrest regularly for well over a decade, and usually over far-right austerity measures. France and the European Union continue to be hounded by accusations that they are anti-democratic, and the latest of many French presidential decrees has only further increased dissatisfaction and dissent.
There is growing realization that our major national policies are decided in Brussels, and that our president is a mere puppet. We're also subservient to Washington. Simply look at what we're doing in Ukraine for more proof. So there's no hope that we'll have democracy during the last 4 years of Macron's term. But if we don't get it in 2027, things will explode.
Union leaders left the closed-door meeting, calling it not useful and a one-way monologue.
The pension age hike has overshadowed other crises, such as record inflation, the arming of the unrest in Ukraine, and stagnant wages. But all of those remain unresolved flashpoints as well. Barring a surprise reversal from the government, unions are planning a 14th day of nationwide strikes next month. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Hundreds of Orthodox Jews protested outside the UK Parliament building on Tuesday over fears the establishment will begin regulating traditional Jewish faith schools known as yeshivot. Protest leaders made clear they considered any legislation targeting unregulated Jewish religious institutions as anti-Semitic, and they may be forced to flee Britain to protect their religious freedoms from unwelcome reforms.
Today, we face a concerning challenge as politicians attempt to push through a proposed register for children educated outside of school. This is no ordinary bill, but one that seeks to sneak in new laws through the back door under the guise of a private member's bill. This register proposal targets our strictly Orthodox Jewish community, intending to undermine our way of life more than any other group. It reeks of state-sponsored anti-Semitism.
What concerns these religious Jewish parents is regulated British education mandates lessons on lifestyles which contradict Jewish religious beliefs, including relationship and sex education, or RSE, LGBT propaganda, and other anti-religious ideologies, including atheism.
Well, we're not talking about murdering anybody. We're just talking about what we don't want our children to be taught. And we're just following what it says in our religion. And it's absolutely disgraceful that you're not allowed to do that in this country. And that's anti-Semitic.
These protests come after years of public anger expressed by parents, particularly British Muslims, over RSE lessons already being implemented in state schools. Opt-out options are not available, and accusations of indoctrination or anti-religious propaganda being fed to young children has been rife. In January 2023, a petition went viral, gaining over 200,000 signatures, demanding the government remove LGBT teaching from the controversial curriculum. The government responded, saying,
"The statutory guidance states that all pupils should receive teaching on LGBT content during their school years. Secondary schools should include LGBT content in their teaching. Primary schools are strongly encouraged and enabled when teaching about different types of family to include families with same-sex parents."
The ruling Conservative government has routinely attacked left-wing opposition over their support for the Palestinian cause and their criticism of Britain's relationship with the Israeli regime. However, and quite ironically, it's now number 10 that finds itself on the receiving end of not only accusations of anti-Semitism, but also Islamophobia and for being anti-religion in general, over an education system which is perceived to be discriminating against religious minority rights. Robert Carter, London.
The Japanese city of Hiroshima is set to host a G7 summit this week, where leaders of the U.S., Britain, France, Germany, Canada, Italy, and Japan will address pressing global issues. The meeting is also a source of controversy in other countries around the world, including South Korea, where activists at a Seoul forum slammed the event as diplomatic whitewashing.
This summit is a tool to conceal the terrible truth that countless Asian and Pacific people had to bleed due to 50 years of Japanese imperialism beginning in the late 19th century. It's a blindfold to cover Japan's hypocritical steps towards a nuclear-free world, peace, and rearmament, while dumping nuclear-contaminated water and scrapping its peace constitution.
South Korea's relations with Japan have always been controversial, but especially now as President Yoon Suk-yeol has sought to improve ties against the wishes of many South Koreans, who demand an apology for what they call Japan's colonial abuses. As world leaders flock to Hiroshima, South Koreans are reminded of a history the U.S. and Japan might rather forget. When the U.S. dropped the atomic bombs on Japan, in addition to more than 200,000 Japanese, estimates suggest some 40,000 Koreans were killed. Many of them were forced laborers. Some South Koreans say President Yoon is moving the country too close to the United States and a military alliance with Japan, which is seen as increasing regional tension. Japanese leader Fumio Kishida invited Yoon to the G7.
The South Korean government's participation is mainly to strengthen military cooperation between South Korea, the U.S., and Japan, and further strengthen military cooperation with NATO, which is mainly led by the United States. If South Korea's participation in the G7 was to reinforce the military alliance as a benefit, that can never be a good thing for the peace of the Korean Peninsula, as well as world peace.
While the summit plans to address the Russia-Ukraine war and economic issues, activists also argue the rich G7 nations need to do more to solve the humanitarian crisis now unfolding in East Africa. Frank Smith, Seoul.
A new report by the Institute of Watson Brown on their Cost of War project, which evaluates the results of the post-9/11 wars on affected countries, says the post-9/11 wars have caused more than 4.5 million people to lose their life in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Pakistan. This study says that some of these people were killed in the war, but a larger number died indirectly due to the destructive effects of the war, which reaches 3.7 million people.
These mentioned casualties have different reasons. One is that the treatment centers have been destroyed due to war and medical aid seekers could not access treatment. Also, the widespread of diseases due to lack of health centers is countable. We can even refer to using bombs and weapons used in war that had environmental consequences that affected people. Overall destruction of infrastructures and long-term effects of the war is the main reason for casualties.
According to the report, tens of millions of people living in the war zones have also been displaced. The U.S. post-9/11 wars have forcibly displaced at least 38 million people in and from Afghanistan and the other mentioned countries.
Taking responsibility has three steps. First is to acknowledge they are the cause of this destruction and misery, which they don't. Second is ethical acceptance of the results of what they have done. And finally, there should be a higher power to compel them to take responsibility for what they have done. Some might say the UN is a higher power. Still, the UN is created by some countries which have the right or the veto right, and it shows flexibility towards these countries. There is simply no base on which these countries take responsibility.
The results of the war imposed by the U.S. on Afghanistan are the shocking numbers of 30% rise in food insecurity, 41% increase in children malnutrition and rising poverty, 1.5 million people left with disabilities and 2 million widows. Poverty, unemployment, and poor medical conditions are considered only some of the results of 20 years of U.S. military presence in Afghanistan. Despite the fact that the war is over, people are still facing challenges due to the effects of that war. Abdullah Amirzadeh, Kabul.
Industrial production in the EU's top economy, Germany, has suffered an unexpected decline. It's bad news for the entire bloc. However, a forecast published on Monday suggests the EU's economy is set to grow modestly. But downside risks are also growing.
Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine continues to cast a long shadow of uncertainty over the economy.
Grants to help struggling EU firms will soon be withdrawn, Eurozone finance ministers announced on Monday.
Companies that are receiving support will have to look at how they can support their own long-term viability.
A growing number of people are reaching the conclusion that the West could have prevented the war in Ukraine through constructive dialogue with Russia. The cost of living crisis resulting from the conflict is taking its toll.
It's time to be talking about peace, not about weapons or providing more financial aid to the war.
If the parties could come together and agree a peace, that would be wonderful, but you know, I'm not sure that's happening, right?
Apparently, financial markets are looking on nervously because so many things have been impacted by the war.
Due to the fact also of the uncertainties in China and lower exports and imports from China, and also due to the expectations of the economy in the United States.
A conference in Brussels on Monday heard that cracks are showing in the EU with respect to the war in Ukraine.
The Europeans have been united, but they need to be much more united.
Trade union members across the EU point out that wages are not keeping up with inflation as the bloc continues to spend billions of euro on arming Ukraine. Therefore, they suggest the onus is now on Western leaders to bring about de-escalation as a matter of urgency. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
A great open-hearted and free-thinking Iranian poet, as described by Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi in a message read to the audience by the Minister of Culture on the occasion of Persian Language Day. Credited for reviving the Persian language through his literary masterpiece Shahnameh or the Book of Kings, Hakim Abulqasim Ferdowsi is honored every year on the occasion. Persian or Farsi, as referred to by native speakers, is a branch of Indo-European languages. It is primarily spoken in Iran, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan, but widely understood in Central Asia. It is considered a relatively simple language to learn grammatically. It is written from right to left using a modified version of the Arabic alphabet. The Saadi Foundation in Tehran has made it its mission to promote the Persian language, Farsi. And Persian Language Day is the best opportunity for that.
Farsi is the key to a treasure chest full of gold coins. Our literature and Persian poems are the treasure inside that chest. I recommend everyone to learn Farsi.
I fell in love with classic Persian literature through the Ferdowsi's Shahnameh. It took him over 3 decades to write the book at a time when Arabic was the main scientific and literary language of Iran.
Shahnameh, or the Book of Kings, recounts Iran's mythical and historical past. The book is considered valuable cultural heritage for Iranians, while it serves as a great inspiration to learn Farsi for foreigners. Foreigners say Persian is one of the most beautiful languages in the world. Persian Language Day is celebrated on May 15th to honor the world-renowned Persian poet Ferdowsi and his masterpiece Shahnameh, or the Book of Kings. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The proportion of Americans with hardly any confidence in the Supreme Court has shot up by 15 points since 2021. A new poll shows that Americans have less trust in U.S. Supreme Court than ever. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Wrote in this regard, as the public deals with the consequences of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn 50 years of precedent protecting rights across the country, trust in the Supreme Court has hit an all-time low. No polling by Associated Press nor Sea Center for Public Affairs Research at the University of Chicago has found. The latest installment of the General Social Survey, which NORC has conducted since 1973, polled Americans between May and December of last year, the period immediately following the leak of the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The polling found, perhaps unsurprisingly, that trust in the High Court took a nosedive last year. Just 18% of Americans said they had a great deal of confidence in the Supreme Court last year, down from 26% in 2021. The amount of people with only some confidence dropped from 53% in 2021 to 46% in 2022. Meanwhile, the proportion of people who said they had hardly any confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court exceeded the proportion who said they had a great deal of confidence for the first time in the poll's history. A record 36% of respondents said they had hardly any trust in the court, up 15 points from 2021. Trust was lowest among Democrats. The proportion of Democrats with a great deal of confidence fell to a mere 8% in 2022, down from 25% the previous year. Confidence even fell among Republicans, despite the high court being dominated by right-leaning justices, dropping from 31% in 2021 to 26% in 2022. Polling demonstrates the crisis in confidence that the far-right Supreme Court justices have brought into the institution. Even aside from the questionable logic and legal basis behind the Dobbs v. Jackson ruling, the court's radical decision to yank away the right to bodily autonomy, despite the long-time precedent set by Roe, has yielded disastrous consequences for the public and people's rights to bodily autonomy, both for seekers and for other regular care. The poll results also show how polarizing and unpopular the concept of banning some rights is when it becomes a reality. Previous polls on the Supreme Court after the fall of Roe have yielded similar rights. A Gallup poll last September found that approval of the Supreme Court was just 40%, tied with the record low first seen in 2021, while disapproval of the court was at a record high of 58%. These polls, however, were conducted before reporters uncovered a number of instances of extreme corruption from Supreme Court justices, specifically from Justice Clarence Thomas, who Chief Justice John Roberts has worked to shield in recent weeks. The The scandal surrounding Thomas has made the public aware of what has amounted to an open secret among judicial experts that corruption is much more common among court justices than the public knows, and that the justices have no interest in changing rules regarding corruption because it benefits them personally. If the polling were conducted after these revelations, it may have found an even dimmer view of the Supreme Court. Recent polling from The Economist and YouGov, conducted after the first bombshell ProPublica report on Thomas accepting lavish, undisclosed gifts from a Republican mega donor, found that nearly 6 in 10 Americans disapprove of Thomas' choice to accept the gifts. Another poll conducted around the same time by Demand Justice found that 70% of Americans would support an investigation of ethical violations by Supreme Court justices. According to NPR, Americans don't tend to like either political party very much. A December NPR PBS NewsHour Morris poll found the parties were viewed nearly identically and in a negative light. Below the numbers, an intensity of dislike has grown. Over the last 30 years, members of both parties in the U.S. have been increasingly likely to express extremely negative views of the other political party. In 1994, only about one-fifth of Americans said they had a very unfavorable view of the other party. Last year, a Pew Research Center study found majorities in each party said so.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear listeners, Salaamu Alaikum. You're listening to this program, Lantern. We have a nice story to hear and learn about it. So let's listen. What's the title of today's story? Al-Quran, the Great and Holy Book. About 100 years ago, England had a powerful prime minister. He was a Christian to a high section of the Anglican Church. His name was Gladstone. One day in the year 1882, he was speaking in the British Parliament on how to weaken the power of Muslims in Egypt so that the British could continue to rule over them. At one stage, he raised a copy of the Holy Quran in his hand and said that so long as this book remained with the Muslims in that country and they respected and followed it, the British would never be able to dominate them. He added that the only solution was to try and separate the Holy Quran from the Muslims of Egypt. At the end of the speech, a committee was formed to decide upon ways and means of carrying out Gladstone's recommendation. The committee resolved to send some experts to Egypt who would launch a campaign which would weaken the faith of people and make them suspicious of the truth of the Holy Quran. The aim was to discourage people to refer to the Holy Book and gradually make them turn against the Islamic way of life. In the course of this political and vicious program, a learned man by the name of Dunlop, who was sent to Egypt as a teacher, he prepared many books containing lessons which were nothing but propaganda in disguise. One of the lessons on history was based on showing how Egypt was lagging behind and was not making progress because of Islam and the Quran. It alleged that people of Egypt were much more civilized prior to the coming of Islam. Such ill-intentioned program first succeeded to a small extent in influencing the youth at the schools. Then the holy men of Al-Azhar University protested to the authorities and demanded that an end be put to it. Now let us find out what are the qualities of this book which the enemies wish to remove from the Muslims. The holy book is known as Al-Quran, which means the reading of the Prophet of Islam who never went to any school. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, has retired to a cave on Mount Hira, not far from Mecca. One day angel Jibreel, came to him and said, "Read." The Holy Prophet said, "What should I recite?" Gabriel said, "Read in the name of thy Lord, who created man out of a mere clot of congealed blood. Read, and thy Lord is most beautiful. He who thought the use of pen, thought man that which he did not know." The Holy Quran, as word of Allah Almighty, as revealed to his Prophet Muhammad, this book gives guidance for our daily life. It appeals to our power of reasoning and exhorts us to follow the commands of Allah. It is living miracle of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the last of the prophets who came from Allah. It is not surprising at all that this holy book has remained intact for the last 1400 years. And it shall remain so till the day of judgment, for Allah has taken it on himself to protect it. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said that one should at least recite 50 ayahs every day. Let us therefore value and respect this great book by reading it with understanding and follow its teachings.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear sisters and brothers. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we read some religious stories and then talk about the moral lessons or themes of these stories. Our subject of today is the Noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has promised and guaranteed to look after this book and keep it safe and secure until the end. He has promised in this way, "Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun." We have without doubt sent down the Quran and we will assuredly guard it. Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 9. The recitation of the holy book of Quran is the best of worship because it inspires the reciter to think and to contemplate whereby actions may result. The holy Quran addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Keep vigil all the night in prayer except for a few hours, half the night more or less, and with measured and in a rhythmic tone recite the Holy Quran. Surah Al-Muzammil, verses number 2 till 4. And again addressing all the Muslims, Holy Book of Quran has kept فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. Read you the Holy Quran as much as you can. Surah Al-Muzammil, verse number 20. Or in another verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not contemplate the Qur'an so as to catch its meanings, or their hearts are locked up? Surah Muhammad, verse number 24. Or this verse, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. And we have indeed made the Holy Quran easy to understand and remember. Then is there anyone who may receive admonition? Surah Al-Qamar, verse number 17. Therefore, those who read Holy Quran without any contemplation and action lose a lot for ignoring two main important elements, thought and act, and grasping only one, that is reading.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life. One last point that should not be missed here is that the words of the Quran should commonly be taken for their fundamental meanings and not for their connotations, with the exception of some that clear reasons prove them to mean otherwise. The verses in the Holy Quran should never be commented on the basis of conjectures or self-interest. As an instance, when we read the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَظَلُّ سَبِيلًا. And he who was blind in this world will be blind in the hereafter or the next world, and most astray from the path of salvation. Surah Al-Isra, verse number 72. We are sure enough that blind in this verse doesn't mean sightless. It rather means someone who has lost his or her sense of understanding and judgment, and not him or her who has lost the sense of sight. Now, this is because there are many blind people who are virtuous and truthful. But on the contrary, there are many who can see well in their eyes, but who are out of mind and their hearts are locked up and cannot use even their common senses. So we as Muslims should be wise and refuse those interpretations of the Noble Quran that are based on personal commentaries. Well, it seems that we've got no more time for today's episode. In this episode of Lantern, we talked about the Holy Book of Quran and some unique features of it. We said that it has remained intact through all these centuries, and its verses are so unique that no human being can compose something even compatible with the verses of Quran. Then we went to the subject of recitation of Quran by Muslims and the emphasis of the Holy Book on its value. And finally, we talked about interpretation of Quran, which must be done with the utmost care and away from personal ideas. I hope that all of us would make use of this invaluable book in the best way possible in our lives. Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi
tatma'innul qulub. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.